Well, this morning, as I was thinking about an encouraging message for the women in our congregation, as well as for all of us as a whole, I was inspired by a group as they're currently going through characters of the Bible and learning and gleaning their experience and how it applies to their lives. And so I thought I was praying and thinking, well, who's someone that would be appropriate for this particular Sunday? I settled on Miriam, who is Moses and Aaron's sister. Can you all recall a time when you had a message about Miriam? Not really, right? She only has a few verses in the scriptures, and yet she really played a very important role in God's story. And as I mentioned last Sunday, we were talking about people of God are on God's mission, and being on God's mission means being people of God who know the story they're a part of. And I think definitely Miriam did understand and know her role in playing in God's plan of redemption. And of course, in her time, she was thinking about the redemption of the Hebrew people from their enslavement in Egypt. Well, Miriam is remembered as a person of strength as well as worship. So when we look at the book of Exodus, we were reading here, Aubrey is reading for us from Exodus chapter 15. But if you look back at Exodus chapter 14, she actually was there in one of the greatest moments in Israel's history, a crossing of the Red Sea. As it tells us that while Moses led the people through the waters, Miriam led the people in praise after the victory. And that's obviously as they were going through the Red Sea, and then, we understand that as they crossed, then the Lord closed the Red Sea and decimated the Egyptian army. From Miriam, she teaches us that courage and worship belong together. A courageous heart trusts God in difficult moments, and a worshiping heart gives God's glory when victory comes. And so today, we will look at three truths from Miriam's life: the courage to stand, the courage to lead, and the courage to praise. Well, Miriam's story actually doesn't begin at the Red Sea. Long before the celebration, she showed courage as a young girl. So we go back to the very beginning of Exodus, which is in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22. Well, in that passage, we learn that Pharaoh had ordered all Hebrew baby boys to be killed. And this is because at that particular point in time, the Pharaoh was really concerned about the number of Hebrews that were in the land, and was really afraid that they would eventually outnumber the Egyptians and then would basically take over the land. And so he ordered all the midwives that as soon as they were delivering the babies and they realized that it was a boy, that they would then kill them. Of course, the midwives in the story, they basically do not follow Pharaoh's instructions. And then he then basically then says, well, if there's boys, then we're just going to kill them all. Well, Exodus chapter 2, verse 1 to 10 actually narrates Moses' birth, and how his mother, in a moment of desperation, placed him in a basket on the Nile River. So we have this picture, while Miriam watched from a distance. So imagine the danger. She was only a child, and yet she stayed near the river to protect her baby brother. The commentaries basically say that they think that she was about 10 when Moses was born. So here we have, when Pharaoh's daughter found Moses, as pictured here, Miriam boldly stepped forward and offered to find a Hebrew woman to nurse the child. And so because of Miriam's courage, Moses was protected. his mother would end up caring for him, and God's plan continued. What we can learn from here is this, that sometimes courage is not loud. Sometimes courage is quietly standing where God has placed you. I think as believers, sometimes we think that courage means never feeling fear. But biblical courage means obeying God even when fear is present. And what can that look like in our lives? Well, courage is praying when life is uncertain. Courage is standing for truth in a compromising culture. Courage is trusting God before you see the outcome. And here's our first key truth. God often uses ordinary people with courageous faith to accomplish extraordinary purposes. We have other examples of women of courage in the scriptures. We have Rahab, we have Esther, and we have Deborah. I definitely love the story of Deborah, how she was used by God as a judge in an amazing way to vanquish the enemies of the Hebrews at the day. A modern example today is Janelle Hale, and some of us will probably not know who that is, and we're going to watch a video that shares her story of courage. But here's a little kind of synopsis of her story of courage. At the age of 34, her life came to a screeching halt. The diagnosis was breast cancer. But the battle she would face went far beyond the physical treatments and recovery. With fragile emotions, she looked in the mirror, at first seeing a body with a broken body with limited use. That perspective didn't last long. Janelle remembered to ask Jesus what he thought. His uplifting answer gave her the hope and peace to seek God's plan for her life, which has resulted in bringing physical and emotional healing to thousands of others facing the same breast cancer battle. She would go on to found the National Breast Cancer Association in the United States. So, Kenneth, if we're able to show her story. And this comes from the website I Am Second, and there are many, many videos of just how God has worked and how God has inspired these different individuals and, how he continues to transform their lives and has transformed others through him. So here is Janelle Hale's story.
I thought I would die when I heard the words cancer. I thought it was a death sentence, that I would die immediately. Since I didn't smoke or drink or have any of the vices that you would think would cause breast cancer, I didn't have even anyone in my family that had breast cancer, I couldn't understand how I would get it. I grew up in San Diego in a very poor area. I didn't know I was as poor as I was until later in life. In my home, I had the extremes. I had light and darkness. My mother was this beautiful, wonderful Christian woman. My father was like the devil. When we would go to church on Sundays, he would stand at the door, wave his fist at us, and curse us for going to church. But I really, really loved what my mother was inside, because even though she was an imperfect person, she just overcame everything with her faith. I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 9 years old. That was a result of my mother teaching me and my brother the ways of God. I remember it was at a church one Sunday morning, walked down the aisle and just gave everything to him. That was the beginning of many things that would unfold in my life that would lead me to today. I had breast cancer at the age of 34. Everything in my life was turned upside down. I really had a wonderful life, husband, three children, and breast cancer came along and just smashed my world. I remember when it became most vivid to me was one morning, not shortly after I came home from the hospital. I looked in the mirror and I said, "Lord, please let me see myself the way you see me." And at that exact moment, a warmth just went all through my body, all from my head down to my feet. And I saw that I was a beautiful child to the Lord. I looked at my hands and I said, "I have two hands that can serve the Lord. I have two feet that can walk. I have a mouth that can speak. And I can do things for God." And so I just gave it over to Him. The imperfection of my body, I gave to the Lord, and I really saw through the beautiful eyes of the Lord what He thought of me. He didn't think of me as a broken person. He thought of me as His child, and He loved me. Life goes on with its troubles, but Christ gives the answers and the strength to go through those things. I had to be broken myself, and I had to live in poverty to understand what women go through and what it would be like if you didn't have the money to get a mammogram or to get health care. I had to experience a little bit of that to have the depth of compassion. To start out with all of the negatives that happened and for them to be turned into positives has been pretty amazing to me, that God could take everything that was wrong in my life and make it right for my future. The mission of the foundation has such life to it. It's really teaching women that there is life beyond breast cancer. It's taking women who have no hope, of giving them hope, and giving them not only the physical help, but the emotional support also. I have had a lot of trials. I have had many tragedies in my life, but never has He turned me away. God can do anything. When He wants to get your attention, He can, and He does. Jesus, I accept your love and your forgiveness. You're dying on the cross for me. I accept that love and I thank you for it. And I accept you as my Lord and my Savior for the rest of my life. My name is Janelle Hale and I am second.
I hope you're inspired by Janelle's story. And then again, if you like that video, I again recommend you go and visit the website I Am Second, and you can watch other stories of inspiration. Well, let us continue with Miriam's story. As I said, Exodus 14 narrates the crossing of the Red Sea. The Israelites had just witnessed a miracle. The sea divided, the enemy was defeated, God delivered His people, and Miriam responded with worship. She did not stay silent after seeing God's faithfulness. After the Red Sea crossing, Miriam took a timbrel and led the women in worship. Notice what Miriam did. She initiated praise, she gathered others, she directed attention to the Lord. The Bible calls Miriam a prophetess, basically someone who is used of God to speak through to His people. She had not merely been standing in the background. She was a spiritual influence among God's people. She was clearly gifted as a natural leader and was considered the foremost of all Hebrew women, being also gifted as a poetess and musician. She is the first to articulate through ritual song and dance the religious dimension of Israel's foundational event. And that is really important to state, because as Moses was leading the people through, it wasn't just a God who was saving the Hebrews, it was also a covenant that he was making or about to make with with the Hebrews, who would become, as he says, they will be his people and I will be their God. And Miriam recognized the significance of this miracle that happened at the Red Sea. But more importantly, the true spiritual leadership always points away from self and towards God. See, leadership in Scripture, and this is the second key truth, is not about role or position alone. It's about influence that points people towards God. And God still calls people to lead others spiritually in our homes, in our churches, in our workplaces, and in our communities. You see, leadership is not limited by age or gender or status or background. God uses willing hearts. And Miriam reminds us that one voice of faith can inspire many others to worship and trust God. I think we can definitely, as we look around our world today, and we see models and examples of leadership, and we wonder, where has this type of leadership that leads people back towards God is missing in our society? We even look at our Christian leaders today, and obviously I'm not trying to elevate myself or anything to that effect, but it's always disheartening when we also do see that even in our Christian leaders, sometimes they also miss the mark as well. You know, not to over-promote the leadership workshop they're having on Saturday, but I truly want us to be able to think about that and invite all of us, if possible, those our current and our and aspiring leaders, that maybe someone may hear, may be thinking, I'm not just leadership material. Well, that's false. That's a lie. Again, as I said here, leadership is not limited by age, gender, status, or background. But if you're willing to be used of God, willing to be served, to be used of God to serve his people, that is a call to leadership. Well, Exodus 15:1 goes on to say, "Sing to the Lord, for he is mighty exalted, highly exalted." Notice that Miriam praised God before discussing the difficulty still ahead in the wilderness. Praise came first, and her praise was public, joyful, passionate, and God-centered. You know, I think this one here can hit home for some of us. Too often we wait until every problem is solved before worshiping. It's when things are good, right, that we feel, oh yeah, we can worship God because things are going well. What about the times when we encounter difficulty? Well, Miriam teaches us to praise God for whom he is, for who he is, and what he has already done. We definitely see this theme carried through in the book of Psalms. Many times the psalmists call us and call his people to pray and to praise God, even in the most tenuous of times. And why is that important for us to be able to worship God fully and to praise him even when we can't see how the solution is going to unfold itself? Because praising God changes the atmosphere of our heart. Praise reminds us of God's power. Praising strengthens faith. And praising shifts focus from fear to victory. Even today, where we live in a culture of fear, where we have powers that are basically, you know, challenging the ways we live and disrupting all that we see in our society today, where there's even a lack of faith, believers can lift their voices and worship God because he is still faithful. Can I have an amen to that? Miriam's life also reminds us that faithful people are still imperfect people. And I definitely want to be clear about this because, you know, I don't want to, like, put her on a pedestal or anything like that fact. We read later in Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 to 15, and you can see the verse up there, that Miriam spoke against Moses and faced God's correction. We read this passage, and it's a narration or recording of how her and Aaron came before Moses and challenged him in his leadership. First, by basically calling him out because he had married a Cushite, which is an Ethiopian. And so it could be, it has been translated at some time that basically that Hebrew should never intermarry someone who is not of the ethnic same ethnic race. But actually, that's an incorrect interpretation. Moreover, it's the second half, which really is the crux of the matter, which is the fact that they felt threatened by the fact that Moses' wife was also starting to also prophesy or speak on behalf of God. And so out of this fear, out of this feeling threatened, they go forward and challenge Moses' leadership. Well, God saw that, and she was then, God punished her with leprosy. But then Moses would go before God and implore upon God's mercy, and then he would then heal her from that. What we see here is that God's discipline was evidence of his love and his continued purpose for her life. And I think this gives hope for us as every believer today. We all may fail in our courage. We may stumble in our praise. But God can still restore and use surrendered hearts. This same woman who once led the Hebrews in worship also needed God's grace herself. Miriam was a courageous sister, a spiritual leader, a worshiper who glorified God. And so her story challenges us to ask, will we stand courageously in difficult moments? Will we lead others to God? Will we praise God openly for his faithfulness? The God who parted the sea for Israel is still able to guide, deliver, and strengthen his people today. And so, like Miriam, let us lift our voices and say, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Will you join me in my closing prayer? Lord, give us the courage of Miriam to stand in faith, to lead with humility, and to praise you with joyful hearts. Help us trust you in every season and glorify you both in victory and difficulty. May our lives point others towards your greatness. In Jesus' name.